The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Ta'anit, Daf Tet Vav. Today's daf is being studied, Le'ilu Nishmat Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied, Rfu'a Shelema Ediyahu Hayim ben Sofia Shafia. El na refanado. רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף ורפואתו כרבה לבוא וכן ירסו ולומר אמן. We begin today's daf on Tet Vav, starting at the new Mishnah, beginning the second perek of the Masechet. And the Mishnah begins, Seder Ta'anuyot Kesad. What is the order of the Ta'anuyot? Which means now we're going to discuss a different procedure that took place on the fast days. So comes the Gemara Mishnah and says, Motziin et ha-teva l'rchova shil'ir. They would take the teva, which literally means the ark. They would take it from the Bet Knesset, from the synagogue, and they would take it out into the town square. Shil'ir. V'notnin efer makleh al gabeh ha-teva. And they would take ashes, and they would place them on the teva. Ubrosh ha-nasi. And also they would place it on the head of the Nasi, that was the president, which was like the chief rabbi of Klal Yisrael, Ubrosh Av Bedin, as well as the head of the rabbi in charge of the court. V'chol Echad V'Echad Noten Beroshot. And everybody subsequently puts the ashes on their own heads. Let's read Rashi. Seder Ta'aniyot Kesad Efen Makleh. Now what is this Efer Makleh, which is ashes? And as she says, Efer Mamash, it's actually referring to actual ashes. Velo Afar, but not dirt. Efer Setam Hu Afar, which means if the Mishnah just would have said Efer and Afar, which ashes and dirt are synonymous words. Dikshem She Efer Karui Afar, just like Efer can be called Afar, dirt. Dikhtiv Me Afar Serifat Tachatat, Kach Afar Karui Efer. So too, Afar is also called Efer Setam. V'hainu dektani Efer Makleh. That's why the Mishnah uses Lashon Efer Makleh, which is real Efer Serifah. Ashes that were burnt from something. V'yava tani Efer Setam. If it just would have said Efer, have a mashma Afar. I would have thought that it's just Afar, which is dirt. The Efer Makleh genai yoter. It's more of a genai, it's more of an embarrassment in order to pour ashes, real ashes, on the head. Right? It's more demeaning to pour the ashes on the head than regular afar. And the Mishnah continues, Hazaken Shebahem, which means the Talmid Hacham, the scholar that was amongst them, Omer Lifnehem Devre Kivushin. So he would say in front of them words of Kivushin. What is words of Kivushin? So this is words that would, Kivushin literally means to press them, which would press their hearts. That she says, Lashon Atzira Kebod Mechbesh. Like a Mechbesh, which is a presser. In order that she says, to Kovshin et Levavot, they press their hearts, Lachziram the Mutav, to bring them back to the good way. Ve'elu hen Devre Kivushin. The following things were said by the Zaken, by the elder of them. Ahenu, my brothers, Lo ne'emar ba'anshen Nineveh. It was not said by the people of Nineveh. Those were the goyim that had sinned against God. It doesn't say when they made teshuvah, Vayar Elohim et sakam ve'ta'anitam. It doesn't say that God saw their sackcloth and their fasting. Ela Vayar Elohim et ma'asehem. God saw their deeds. Kishavu midarkam ra'ah. Because they repented from their bad way. Upkabbalahu omer. In the Navi it says, Vekir'u levavchem. Rip your hearts. Ve'al bigdechem. Don't rip your clothes. God wants you to rip your heart, which means to make teshuvah. Now she says, Upkabbalah, Shanavi mitzavel Yisrael. Kabbalah, it's called that because it's Milashon Kovel. Kovel is when somebody gives an instruction. The Navi who instructs Klal Yisrael, so therefore it's called Devre Kabbalah because he is Kovel. That explains that, she says, why the first pasuk that was in Nineveh, where it says Vayar Elohim et Ma'aseim ki shavu bedarakam, it doesn't say b'devrei Kabbalah, because there the Navi is not instructing anything. There the Navi is just giving us information. However, in the second pasuk, it says V'kir'u lebabchem, rip your hearts and not your clothes. That is an instruction. That is a commandment, and therefore, regarding that pasuk, the Mishnah refers to it as Devrei Kabbalah, because the Navi is Kobel. That's the way that she says. Let's read it inside. Deksha Tosfot Man Dehu. One of the Baalei Tosfot asked, "May Shena Ba'ikera Dichti Biyona?" When it said the pasuk No Yavayara Elohim Et Maasehem, Velo Kari Le Devrei Kabbalah. Didn't call it Devrei Kabbalah. Ube'ikera Devikir Ode Bemchem Kari Le Kabbalah. And the Tosfot explains, anytime the Navi commands and gives Am Yisrael a warning, Kabbalah. That's already a type of pasuk is called the Kabbalah. And any pasuk that the Navi is not commanding, like the pasuk of Vayar Elohim, Shukim Saper, just giving you a story, but anyway, the Mishnah continues. Amdu b'tfilah. So now they stand up to pray. Moridin lifnei ha-teva. So they bring in front of the teva zaken v'ragil. Somebody that is a zaken, who is a scholar, and also is ragil, which means he's fluent in the tefillah, in order that he should not make a mistake. Because any shaliach sibur that makes a mistake in the tefillah, that's a bad sign for the ones that sent him. And therefore, we try to get somebody that is expertly and fluent in the tefillah. V'yesh lo banim, and we try to get somebody that has children. U'beto rekam. However, he's a ani, and he doesn't have really any parnasah to support his family. And the explanation is, also like the Gemara is going to say, he's naki from averot, that he's free, betor ekam, meaning his house is clean, meaning he has no bad reputation, he has no sins. Kedesh yehel libo shalem betfilah. We want his heart to be complete in the tefillah. So we bring up somebody that is in need, in order that he will pray with greater kavana. That he says in front of them 24 berachot. Yud chet shebechol yom, the 18 regular berachot of the Amidah, humosif aleihem od shesh, and he would add an extra 6 berachot, like we learned between the berachav goel Yisrael lefeenu. They would add an additional 6 berachot ve'eluhen, and these are the 6 zichronot. That's the same beracha that we say on Rosh Hashanah and the Musaf, the same pesukim, zikronot, the shofarot, again, the same pesukim and berachot that we say in Musaf, which is called shofarot, Musaf Rosh Hashanah. Third, el Hashem basarat ali karati vayaneni, that chapter in Tehilim. Esa einai ele arim, that chapter is number 4. V'ma'amakim kirati Hashem, number 5. Tefilah le'ani chi ya'atof, number 6. These are all chapters in Tehilim. Rabbi Yehuda omer, lo haya tzarich lomar zichronot v'shofarot. He says, no, you don't say zichronot v'shofarot, ela omer tahtehem. You say in their stead the following pesukim. Ra'av kiye ba'ares, deber kiye. This was pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech that was praying for the future generations, that if there be a famine in the land or a pestilence in the land, Borei Olam will answer the tefillot of Israel. And then the pasuk of Asher haya devar Hashem El Yirmiyahu al devre habatzoret. So therefore, you include these two blessings, these two chapters, instead of zichronot and shofarot. Comes the Mishnah and continues, ve'omer chot mehen, and each one of these berachot has a special hatima, which means as a special conclusion, meaning Baruch Atah, like we'll see now. Al Rishona, regarding the first Beracha, now the first Beracha, according to Tanna Kamma, was the Beracha, which is the first of the of the berachot, actually, which is really Goel Yisrael, because in the beracha of Goel Yisrael they would make a special hatima, like we're going to see now, and then they would start the 6 extra berachot. So when it says over here Al Rishona, it really means the first beracha that they are ma'arich, The first barakah that they would lengthen. So that was really the barakah of Goel Yisrael. Then they would say the subsequent six barakot. So what is the addition that they would add to the first barakah, meaning to the barakah of Goel Yisrael? Mi she'anat Avraham Avinu b'har Moria. The God that answered Avraham Avinu at Har Moria, which means when he prayed at the time of the Akedah, and Yitzhak eventually was saved, who ya'ane etchem, he should answer you, v'yishma b'kol sa'akatchem, hayom azeh, baruch atah Hashem, goel Yisrael. So that ending is included into the berakha of goel Yisrael. Mi she'ana et Avraham Avinu. Now, that she says on the first wide line, על ראשונה, בפעם ראשונה הוא אומר משנה לאברהם, בגואל ישראל, היה מתחיל להאריך והולך ואומר לכולן שש ברכות. כן, I'll go to the second. על השנייה, which we said is the ברכה of זיכרונות, קוראת את הנקמה, הוא אומר, מי שענה את אבותינו על ים סוף, the God that answered our forefathers on ים סוף, when we came out of Islam, הוא יענה אתכם, וישמע כל שחקתכם היום הזה, ברוך אתה השם, זוכר הנשכחות. God remembers those that are forgotten. And that's appropriate to say that ברכה, for זיכרונות, because the Jewish people, after all, were in Mitzrayim for many years, and it's as if they were forgotten in Mitzrayim for many years, and they gave up hope from the Geula, and therefore, Borei Olam says, he still remembered them. Now let's read Rashi in the second line, Al Hashaniyah, Zui Beracha Rishonah Shel Shesh Berachot. Now obviously this is the first Beracha of the additional six, Kedemim Megemara, Ve'ach De Goel Yisrael, Zui Beracha Atzma. Shoshimunai said, the first one, which was Berachat Goel Yisrael, is part of the Amidah itself. Ve'ena Me'ota Shesh. That's not from the extra six, Ela Sheba Yametchil, but we would start to include extra words, like we said, Mishanat Avotenu, Avraham Avinu, Leosipu Ladik, על הזכרונות הוא אומר זוכר השכחות ועל השופרות שומע תרועה, like we're going to see in the Mishnah, they would say on the שופרות the ברוך אתה השם שומע תרועה, etc. והיא שנייה למניינה, that would be the second, which means שופרות would be the second ברכה to the count, ועל השם בשרת עלי והיא שלישית למניין שש, etc. Now the Gemara Mishnah continues. Now we get to the second one. Al Shilishit Omer. The Shilishit again is really the second Berakah of the additional six. It's called Shilishit Omer because it's the third Berakah from when we started to be Mosif, starting from Goel Yisrael. In any event, what do we say? Mishanat Yoshua Begilgal, the one that answered Yoshua in the Gilgal, who Yaneh Etchem Yishma Bekos Akadchem Ayom Azeh Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Atiru'ah. Again, because since this Berakah is the Berakah of Shofarot, it makes sense to mention Yoshua, because we know Yoshua was answered via the Shofarot when he had that battle at Yericho. Al Rabi'i to Omer, regarding the fourth Berakah, he says, Mishana et Shmuel Bamispa. The one that answered Shmuel in the mitzvah when he was praying against the enemies to protect us from the enemies of Pilishtim, who ya'ane etchem v'yishma kol sa'akatchem ayom hazeh baruch ata Hashem shomeya tze'aka. And that's corresponding to the chapter in the Tehillim, El Hashem basarata li karati v'ya'aneni. Comes the Mishnah, continues. על החמישית הוא אומר, מי שענה את אליהו בהר הכרמל. The one that answered אליהו הנביא, when he prayed at הר הכרמל, הוא יענה אתכם, ישמע בקול צעקתכם היום הזה ברוך אתה השם, שומע תפילה. And again, that corresponds to the ברכה, that they would say, the chapter, like we said in the Mishnah, אשא עיני אל ההרים. And since we're talking about over הר הכרמל, so therefore it makes sense to mention Eliyahu Navi that prayed by the mountain Har HaKarmel. Al Shishit Omer, Mishanat Yonah Mim'ei HaDagah, the one that answered Yonah in the belly of the fish, of the whale, Hu Ya'aneh Etchem Yishua Bekos HaKadchem Yom Hazeh Baruch Ata Hashem Ha'oneh Be'atzara. And that corresponds to the chapter in Tehillim that we say in this barakah as well, of Shira Ma'alot Mima'amakim Kiraticha Hashem, that I'm calling you from the depths, because Yonah cried out to God from the depths of the whale. Al Shivi'it Omer, but the seventh beracha, he says, "Mi she'ana David ve'et Shlomo beno Birushalayim." The one that answered David And Shlomo his son in Yerushalayim, who yaneh etchem v'yishma mekol zakatchem hayom hazeh, baruch ata Hashem merachem al ha'aretz. Let's read Rashi al ha'shvi'it. Mefaresh b'gemara, my shvi'it, mi sh'ana David, the one that answered David, v'hid ra'a b'me David shalosh shanim, Shana Har Shana, which there was a 3-year famine at the time of David, so he prayed. Ushlomo Keshechnis Aron Bet Hakodesh Kodashim. When Shlomo Melech entered the Aron, the Kodesh Kodashim, he also made a tefillah. Ina Meraat Ki Yebaares, which means that Shlomo prayed in the event that if there's going to be a famine in the land. Defichach Chotem Merachem Ala Aris. Therefore, that Beracha Tachatimaz Baruch Ata Hashem Merachem Ala Aris. They both prayed for Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Itpalu Al Eretz Yisrael. Utfilal Anichi Yatov. And that chapter that Tarakama said you say for this Beracha is Tefilal Anichi Yatov Al Dochak Yishamim Nofel. That's referring to the chapter that talks about when there's no rains, meaning you're praying also for the sustenance of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it's appropriate to end the Beracha with the prayers of David. David and Shlomo HaMelech and also prayed for the situation in Eretz Yisrael. So basically, the Mishnah concludes, V'yishma kol zakatchem hayom hazeh, baruch ata Hashem merachem al ha'aretz. So again, we concluded over here the first part of our Mishnah, which told us a few things. Number one, the Seder Ta'aniyot. Now, it should be pointed out that when we say Seder Ta'aniyot, we're referring to the 7 last Ta'aniyot that are the most stringent, that would bring the Teva in the Rehova Shil'id, that would bring it into to the town square, we'll call it. And they would pour efer, mamekleh, we said real ashes, they would pour it on the teva, on the head of the nasi, on the head of the abedin, and everybody would pour the ashes themselves on their own heads. These old scholar would get up and say words of musar to them, telling them how they have to repent, it's not enough to fast, and then they would bring a special shaliach sibur who was fluent in the tefillah, who had children but was anahani and was free from sin, and he would start to make the tefillah, and he would add between the berachav goel and refa'enu 6 additional berachot. And the Mishnah tells us that in each of these berachot it was with a certain chapter of the Tehillim followed with a special hatima, and they would include in the berachav goel Yisrael also a special addition, Mishana et Avraham Abinu Bar Amoriah. And they would say Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael, and each of this next 6 berachot would have the special Tehillim with the special hatimas the Mishnah enumerated. And now we continue the Mishnah. Ma'aseh, there was a story, Bime Rabbi Halafta, the Rabbi Hananya ben Tenayon, She'avar Echad Nifnei HaTeva. It was one of the fast days, so the Hazan came in front of the Teva, Ve'gamar et HaBeracha Kula, and he finished the entire Beracha. Ve'lo Anu Acharav Amen. They did not answer after him Amen. So Gemara is going to explain, what did they say? If they didn't answer, I mean, what did they say? So they really answered, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. Now that was a custom that they used to do in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore the Gemara says, what happened after that? Tik'u Kohanim Tik'u. The, we call him the Hazan Bet HaKnesset. That's like the Shamosh, the attendant. He then announced to the Kohanim, this was in the Bet HaMikdash, Tik'u Kohanim Tik'u, sound the Tiki'ah Kohanim, sound the Tiki'ah. Which means he told them to blow the Shofar. And we continue to say the following: Mishana et Avraham Avinu beHara Moriah, who yaneitchem v'yishma b'kol zakatchem hayom hazeh. Because since that was the additional line that they would add in the first beracha of the Amida of Goel Yisrael, the additional berachot, so then after that he would say, Hari'u b'nei Aharon Hari'u. We came to the second beracha. He would say, blow the shofar again, the sons of Aharon, blow the shofar. And then he would continue, Mishanat, Avotun al Yamsuf, Hu Ya'anet Chem, Mishwam Kosakat Chem, Hayom Hazeh, which was the first additional beracha, which we called Zikronot. So that's the way they did it. Again, so they would start the Amidah. Before the beracha of Goel Yisrael finished, he would say, Tik'u, Kohanim, Tik'u, and add Nisha'anat Abraham Avinu, then they would finish the beracha, they would blow the shofar, then he would say, Tik'u Hariyu B'nei Aharon Hariyu, blow the shofar again, and he would give them the additional line they should say, that's Nisha'anat Abraham Al Yamsuf, and then they would finish the beracha, and then they would blow the shofar. So the Gemara says, U'sheva davar etzel hachamim, when this episode came in front of the Hakamim, Amru, they said, Do ayuno agimkin, Ela Beshar Mizrah, Ubaharabayit, which means this custom of saying Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Ba'ed after Beracha, this was the Minhag, which means Nebet HaMikdash, that's the Eastern Gate, which is the Temple Mount. Therefore, they did not do this outside the Nebet HaMikdash. So again, we have a ma'aseh in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, of Rav Chalaftan, Rav Hanina ben Tadadion, that related exactly what they did in the outside the Beit HaMikdash. It was that they would blow the shofar at the times of the Berachot, as well as answering Baruch Shem Kibbutz Machoto Le'olam Ba'ed. Hachamim said that was not a proper practice, was only done in the Beit HaMikdash itself. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Shalosh ta'aniyot harishonot. Now we go back to the first three fasts for the rains. And shem mishmar mitanin velo mashlimin. Now let's review. We know that there were 24 mishmarot, which are 24 groups that used to serve in the Beit HaMikdash on a rotation basis. Every week another mishmar would work. Now the mishmar was divided into six sections. Those sections were called Bate'av. And every day another section would serve in the Beit HaMikdash. Now, what would happen during these fast days? Did the Anshe Mishmar or the Bet Av, did they fast or not? So the Mishnah says, Anshe Mishmar Mitanin, they would indeed fast, Velo Mashlimin, but they would not finish the fast. Why? She says, Sha'adayin in al Hamurim Kol Kach. Well, these fasts are not so stringent, especially the first three. What are they? Why are we being lenient on them at all? They're not working. The Bet Av is working. So that she says, because we're concerned that maybe there's going to be an overload of work for the Bet Av, and therefore they're going to have to call in the reserves from that Mishmar. And therefore the Mishmar has to be on call in order to help work. So we don't want them to be fatigued or tired. Therefore, we are lax in that first three fasts. So that she says, "Shayu ovdin oto ayom ubein lesayam v'mayu mitanim lo hayalem koach na'amod ba'avodah." So that's why we're lenient when it comes to the anshe mishmar. Now, v'anshe betav lo ayu mitanim kelal. When it comes to the anshe betav, they would not have to fast at all. Actually, I correct myself. That she says, "Hamishmaram mitchalik l'shivah b'te'avot." The obviously for the 7 days of the week, so the mishmar was split up into seven parts. So they wouldn't have to fast at all, because obviously that's their day of service. So we don't want them to be fatigued at all. Now shalosh sheniot, Mishnah continues regarding the second set of three fasts. Anshe mishmar mitanin u'mashlimim. So these are more stringent. So the anshe mishmar have to actually fast and complete the fast. V'anshe betav mitanim ve'lo mashlimim. But anshe betav, they fast, but they do not finish. Obviously, you see, it's getting progressively more serious and stringent. Sheva acharonot, when it comes to the last seventh fast, which is the most stringent, elu ve'elu mitanin u'mashlimin. Both the Anshe Mishmar and the Bate'av fast and complete the fast. Devrei Rabbi Yoshua. That's the way Rabbi Yoshua understands. Now let's learn the Shitav the Hakamim. V'Hakamim omrim, shalosh taniyot rishonot, elu ve'elu lo ayu mitanim kelal. He starts off at a much more lenient point. He says that regarding the first three fast, Hachamim that is, nobody fasts at all, not the Anshe Mishmar, not the Anshe Bet Av, and he's going to work himself up more stringent from that point. Shalosh Sheniot, regarding the second three fasts, Anshe Mishmar mit'anim velo mishlem mashlimim. So the Anshe Mishmar will fast, but they don't complete. V'Anshe Bet Av lo ayu mit'anim kelal. Again, Anshe Bet Av do not have to fast at all. Sheva Aharonot, but the last seven, Anshe Mishmar mit'anim mashlimim. The Anshe Mishmar have to fast, and they have to complete They're fast. The anshe betab betanim velo mashlimim. So by the end, the last 70 anshe betab, while they're fasting, they are not mashlim the fast. Now the Mishnah is going to tell us some other differences between the anshe mishmar and the anshe Bet'av. And the Mishnah says, Anshe Mishmar Mutarim Lishtot Yayin Balelot Aval Lo Bayamim. Now we know that a Kohanim are not allowed to serve in the Bet HaMikdash while they are drinking. So now the Mishnah says that the Anshe Mishmar, they are allowed to drink wine at night, however not in the days. Now, what is the reason? So let's read Rashi. Balelot, en lachoshema tichbad avoda. We're not concerned that there might be an overload of work at night, that they might call in the reserves of the mishmar, and therefore we would say that they shouldn't drink wine because they have to be ready. No, at night they could drink wine. Why? Rashi says, Share ra'u mibarev shepasku akorbanot velo kavda avoda sheyavi rov akorbanot velo yaspiku bnei betav sheotayum v'zerichim bnei l'sayyan v'are enam ne'uim la'avoda mishum shekrut. Which means, by the night, we know exactly what the workload is. Because they cannot bring any more korbanot at night. Whatever was brought during the day is just processed in the night. And therefore, once the night comes already, we know if the Anshe Bet Av are able to handle it or not. If they weren't able to handle it, so we bring a couple of extra people from the Mishmar. But all the other people from the Mishmar are able to drink wine, because we're not concerned that more work is going to be added, because there's no extra korbanot that are brought at night. Whatever is brought in the day, already we know. And therefore we can make it an assessment. So therefore again, the Anshe Mishmar can drink wine by night. However, that being said, the Anshe Mishmar cannot drink wine by day, because maybe the work is going to be an overload, and therefore they're going to have to be called in, and therefore they need to be prepared. The Anshe Bet Av, regarding the Anshe Bet Av, they serve during the day itself. Lo bayom velo balayla. Certainly, they cannot drink, not by day and not by night. As she says, all night they would be working by bringing the bones and the different fats that either fell off the Mizbeah during the day, or that were on the Mizbeah that did not get yet burnt yet. That's right, if they didn't finish the service during the day, they finish it by night. We're not concerned that the Anshe Mishmar are going to have to work at night to help them with the fork to, you know, turn over the meat on the Mizbeah. Turning over the korbanot on the Mizbeah, if that's all it is, the Bet Av can handle that themselves. Therefore, they themselves have to be on guard. Therefore, they cannot drink any wine, not by day nor by night as well. Now the Mishnah gives another din. Anshe Mishmar v'Anshe Ma'amad. Now we're introduced to a new group of people called the Anshe Ma'amad. Let's see who these Anshe Ma'amad are. Let's go back up to Rashi. She's a little out of order over here. We'll start from Anshe Ma'amad, a little higher up. Ehad Kohanim v'Leviim Yisraelim. There is Anshe Ma'amad made up of Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim. Hakivroim v'Omdim u'mitpalilim al korban achahem shikubal l'natzon. Which means, every day there was a special korban called korban tamid. It had to be brought in the morning and the afternoon. And this korban was brought for Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says later on, how could a public korban for Klal Yisrael be brought without anybody being there? Which is all Klal Yisrael has to stand by the Qurban, because they're bringing it for us. So that's impossible. You can have all B'nai Yisrael standing every day in the Beit HaMikdash. So it says, no, they would have representatives come to represent all the different sections of Klal Yisrael, and they would stand by the Qurban for us, and they would be our proxies, our shlichim. And they are called Anshe Ma'amad. They were made up of, again, Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim. Rashi says, Ve'omdim Lesham Sh'at Avodah. They would stand there at the time of the service. A person brings his korban and he's not standing there. We're going to see in the later chapters. Again, so we have Anshe Mishmar. Those are the weekly orders, groups of Kohanim. The Anshe Ma'amad, again, those are those that stood by the korbanot of their brothers, so it can be their representatives. Asurim min saper umin chabes. So that week it was forbidden for them to take haircuts, and it was forbidden to them also to launder their clothes. Rashi says, that Mishnechnesu Mishmatam, that when they entered their Mishmat, that whole week was forbidden. The Gemara is going to explain why. We'll wait for the Gemara of Hamishi, but when Thursday came, Mutarim if they came, oh, the Shabbat. So it was permissible for them to take a haircut. Again, they let it do it on Thursday because they didn't want to wait till Friday, because Friday would be already Arim Shabbat. It's too close to Shabbat, it would be a big Torah. So therefore, on Thursday, they allowed them to take the haircuts and launder their clothes. Now the Mishnah continues. Now we know, we learned there's a special sefer called Megillat Ta'anit. Now in Megillat Ta'anit, it has in it all the days that are forbidden to fast on, because miracles happen on those days, and some days even more stringent, that not only is it forbidden to fast, but it's also forbidden to eulogize. So now the Mishnah is going to give us some of the rules regarding those days that are written in Megillat Ta'anit. The Mishnah says, Kol haKatub b'Megillat Ta'anit, anything that was written, any of those days that are written in Megillat Ta'anit, de'lan l'mispad, that it's forbidden to eulogize. Again, those are the stringent days that even eulogizing is forbidden, because again, it was like a Yom Tov. Lefanav asur, that they were, rabbis will say, not only that day, but even the day before. Why? Because the Chachamim made a gezerah that they don't want you to come to eulogize on the day itself, so they made strict even the day before. However, le'aharav mutar, but once the day passed, the following day is permissible to eulogize. Rabbi Yosef Omer lefanav ulaharav asur. He's more machmir. Rabbi Yosef says not only the fanav asur, but also laharav. Comes the Gemara and continues and says, comes the Mishnah continues. Delo lehitana'a, those days that it says in Megillat Ta'anit that are only forbidding for fasting, which are more lenient days, that only fasting is forbidden, lefanav ulaharav mutar, that before and after it is permissible to fast, only the day itself. Rabbi Yosef Omer lefanav asur ulaharav mutar. Rabbi Yosef is machmir again. He says the day before is going to be asur. However, the harab, the day after, is going to be mutar. Now we go to another law regarding the Monday, Thursday, Monday fast, which was the three fasts that they would, rabbis instituted for, let's say, the rains, or the seven fasts for that matter. So they would start the fast on a Monday, and then they would go to Thursday, then they would go to Monday. So the Mishnah says, "En gozin tani talasibur betchilah b'hamishi." When we start a series of fasts, we do not start the fast on a Thursday. Why? Shelo lehafkia hasharim. We do not want to cause a rise in the price of the markets. We do not want to disrupt the price levels of the market. Why? What's going to happen? Because if you're going to start the fast on Thursday, so now the shopkeepers on the Motzei, the fast, everybody's going to come down and buy food. Now they're buying food not only for the breaking of the fast, but they're buying food for Shabbat. The shopkeepers are going to think that there's people buying food here to hoard the food, maybe because there's a famine or something like that, and therefore they're going to jack up the prices. So therefore, we do not start a fast series on Thursday. Now if you started on Monday, so by Thursday ready, the shopkeepers are going to know that they're in a series of fasts already. So therefore it will not cause the prices to be hoarded and raised. So the Mishnah says, I read again, "En gozlin ta'anit al sibur b'tchila b'hamishi shelo lafki asharim." You don't want to disrupt the price levels in the market. "Ela shalosh ta'aniot rishonot." The first three fasts, "Sheni b'hamishi v'sheni." You start on Monday, then Thursday, then Monday. "V'shalosh sheniot." Now by the second set of fasts, the Mishnah says, "Hamishi sheni v'hamishi." You can start on a Thursday, and then a Monday and a Thursday. According to this logic, because already you did one set of fasts, so the shopkeepers, they already know that you're in a fast program, and therefore you can start the second set on Thursday. They're not going to jack up the price because they know already what's going on. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Keshem She'en Rishonot B'Hamishi Kak Lo Sheniot Ve'lo Aharonot. Rabbi Yosef says, no, just like the first set is not on, doesn't start on a Thursday, so to the second set does not start as well. Comes the Mishnah continues, "En gozdin talit la sibur b'rashei chodashim b'hanukkah upurim." We are not allowed to make a talit sibur on Rosh Chodesh or Hanukkah or Purim itself, because Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed, and the other days are considered holidays. So therefore, you cannot make a fast day on those days. However, we mitchilu and mafzikim. Rashi says shekibelu tarit mekodem lachen, which is, let's say they accepted upon themselves a series of fasts. Then nichnas bim Rosh Chodesh, and let's say one of the Mondays or the Thursdays came out Rosh Chodesh and mafzikim. So you don't break the fast. The af agav dechli moreid, even though it's called a moreid, lo ketiv be yom mishteh v'simcha. And therefore, since it's not called yom mishteh v'simcha, you shouldn't have accepted that fast. But if they accepted that series of fasts, and Rosh Chodesh comes as one of the days, you can fast on that day. However, the Gemara says, "Devrei Rabban Gamliel." That's the words of Rabban Gamliel. Amar b'mihir, afal pi shamar Rabban Gamliel em mafsikin. Even though he said that you do fast on that day of Rosh Chodesh, modei aya she'en mashlimin, that you do not finish the fast. Because really, it is Rosh Chodesh. You should not complete the fast. You don't go all the way till sunset. V'chen Tisha B'Av shechal yod be'erev Shabbat. Similarly, if Tisha B'Av fell out on a Friday, also they would fast, but they would not fast the entire day. And that cannot happen today because we have the fixed calendar. But in the olden days, it was possible that Tisha B'Av can come out on a Friday. So the Mishnah is telling us they would indeed fast on that Friday. However, they would not complete the fast because they don't want to go into Shabbat when they are fasting. Comes the Gemara. The Gemara says, Seder Ta'anuyot Kesad. It's quoting from our Mishnah. That what is the order of the Ta'anuyot Mutzin et Teba? That we bring the Teba into the public domain. Again, that would be a sign of mourning, as if to say that even the Teva that normally is in a private place, now we're exiling it into the public place. So the Gemara wants to know, what fast are we talking about? Vafilu Bekamaita. Are we talking about over here even the first three fasts? Because the Mishnah doesn't tell us really. It just says that on these fast days you bring the Teva in the middle of the square of the city. So it says Vafilu Bekamaita. It sounds like even the middle, even the first fast. Urminu, we have a contradiction. Shalosh taniot rishonot ushiniot. It says in the Braita, on the Mishnah, that the first three and second three set of fasts, nichnasim the Beit Knesset. They enter the Beit Knesset with palelim, kedirikshim with palelim kol hashana kula. And they pray in the Beit Knesset like they pray normally all year long. Ubesheva aharonot. However, regarding the last seven fasts, mutsin the teva l'chova, they go, take the teva into the square of the city, they pour ashes on the teva, ubrosh nasi, ubrosh abedin, on the head of the nasi, the head of the abedin, and everybody pours the ashes on their heads as well. Rabbi Natan Omer, efer makle hen mivim, which means according to Rabbi Natan, he says that they did not bring efer, but they brought efer makle, like we learned originally in our Mishnah. There's a difference between efer, which can mean afar, dirt, or efer makle, which is more debasing, which they would bring efer makle, which is the real ashes. Again, so now what do we see more? That only the last seven they would bring out the teba. So what does our Mishnah mean when it just says for the fasts? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa Kitanana Mimatnitin Asheva Aharonot Tenan. Our Mishnah as well, when it says that they brought out the Teba, it was referring to the last seven fasts. So then we have no contradictions. Comes the Gemara says, Ubrosh Nasi. Right, they would pour the ashes first on the head of the Nasi. Vehadar Tani Kol Echad Vehad. Then it says, everybody else subsequently Noten Berosho would place the ashes on their own heads. Which means they would start with the Gadol, they would start with the Hashuv, the Nasi, that everybody would follow. Ini, the Gemara is a contradiction. Ve'atanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Omer, Begidula, Matchilin min Gadol. Which is when it comes to things of Gidula, things of praiseworthy, things of mitzvah, positive things, then you start with the Gadol. Ubekalkala, when it comes to negative things, Matchilim min Katan, then you start from the smaller one. How do we know this principle? Begadola, Matchilim min Gadol, when it comes to mitzvot and positive things, you start from the Gadol. Shnei Emar, Vayomer Moshe l'Aaron ul'Elazar u'l'Itamar, which is after Nadab v'Abihu, the sons of Aaron died, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to tell Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar and Itamar that they should not involve themselves in the mourning period for Nadav and Abihu because they had to serve. So therefore, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe tells Aharon, Then he says El Azar ul Itamar. So he starts with the Gadol. Moshe tells Aharon, he's the Gadol, and then El Azar ul Itamar, because this is a mitzvah, and this is a positive thing, because he's telling them, because you're so hashuv, you do not mourn. Right, like the pasuk says, "Rashechem al tefra'u, ubdechem lo tefromu." So therefore, since that was a hashuf thing, they were not commanded. They were commanded in order of importance. Aaron first, followed by Elazar and Itamar. Now let's go the other way. When it comes to negative things, you start from the katan. How do we know that? Because it says, "Betchila nitkalel nahash." So the Gemara says, when Adam and Habba, they ate from the tree in Gan Eden, so everybody got punished over here. Who got punished first? First the snake got cursed, then Habba, then Adam. So you see, you start from the lowest one, you start from the snake. Of course, that's a puranu, that's a negative thing. Also, the question is over here, it's a negative thing, you're pouring ashes on the head as a sign of mourning. And here, we're starting with the Nesi, you're starting with the bigger one. I thought when it comes to negative things, you start with the katan. How come over here starting to put the ashes on the president's head first? The Gemara says, "Ha, hashivuta lididu." That's an importance to them. Meaning, it's complimentary that you're pouring on their heads first. It's a gedulah to them, to the nasi. Why? The amri lehu, because the people are going to tell the nasi and the abedin, "Atun hashivitu." You are the most important people in the nation. Lemibay alan rahame. You have to pray for us, akula alma, for the entire nation. And therefore, it's praiseworthy, because from putting the ashes on their heads first, they say, you're the most important people in the nation, therefore we're relying on you in order to pray for us that this gezerah will go away. Comes the Gemara and continues. We learned in the Mishnah, v'chol echad v'echad noten b'rosho, which means, when it came to everybody else, all the other people, they would pour the ashes on their heads by themselves. However, when it came to the Nasi and the Abedin and the Teva, it's Mashma, somebody would put on. Well, of course, on the Teva, somebody would put on the Teva, but it says, on the Nasi and the Abedin, others would place on their head. So now the Gemara says, Nasi ve'abedin nameh nishkelu inu v'ninhu b'rashayu. Let the Nasi and the Abedin put the ashes on their head themselves. Why specifically by them, others put it on their head? Why by them do we allow others to pour it on their heads? I'm going to be abad de min keseri. Eno dome mitbayesh me'atzmo lemitbayesh me'achirim. The Gemara says that you cannot compare the busha, the degradation, the humiliation, when somebody does it to himself or it's done by others. Which means obviously there's more pain when somebody is humiliated or embarrassed by somebody else. And therefore, these are anashim hashuvim. And therefore, since they're so hashuv, so therefore when others will pour the ashes on them, that is more degrading. But a regular person, they don't get so embarrassed if somebody else would do it to them. Therefore, it's enough that they do it to themselves. However, we want to bring the agmat nefesh, we want to bring the pain to the leaders, so we have others do it to them, so it'll be a bigger tzad. As she says, "Mitbayesh ma'achirim, di'ik agmat nefesh tafeh." There's a great agmat nefesh, "Meshub hashivutam, he mitbayshim ma'achirim." Ama she'ar kubene adam, de'lo hashive, lo mitbayshim b'nitat acharim, v'sagilu b'nitat atzmam. Comes the Gemara and says one more point. Veheka manachlihu. Where did they put these ashes? Amar bi Yitzchak bimkom tefillin. In the place where a person would put his tefillin shel rosh. Shnei Amar, the pasuk says, lasum la'abele Sion. They're going to place to those that mourned Sion, latet lehem pe'er tachat efer. They're going to place the tefillin, which is called the pe'er, tachat efer, in the place where they're putting ashes now. Jesus pasuk is talking about the future. The Navi is coming along and saying like this, Navi Yehezkel, that there's going to come a time that those that mourn Jerusalem had ashes on their head, they're going to put pe'er tachat efer. They're going to clean away the ashes and they're going to put tefillin instead. So you see what? That the ashes were placed in the place of the tefillin nashi. תחת אפש מאמינה במקום תפילין דכתיב בהו פאר כחבוש עליך. We know that תפילין are called פאר based on a פסוק that says פאר כחבוש עליך. גמרא ברכות says אלו תפילין מתרגמינן נמי תוטפתה כביין עלך. ואיך מניחן תפילין במקום שמוחו של תינוק נופף? And where do we place the תפילין? At the soft spot in the top of the head. That's where the baby's head is soft when the baby is born. And therefore that's exactly the spot of the תפילין של הראש. That's where they would place the ashes. Based on the pasuk again, לסום לה ולסיון לתת להם פאר תחת אפר. ברוך אדוני לעולם, אמן ואמן.